Thanks, Mark.
I just want to say a little scripture reading too, brother.
It's a quickie.
Yeah, I know it is, but I've chosen the Amplified version.
Oh, this could take more than 15 seconds.
Yeah, it could. It's 18. This day, brackets, in which God has saved me. I think those are really important words.
I like that.
In the day which the Lord has made, let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Thanks, Mark. And thank you for that lovely steak last Sunday. I ate it all week, and I'm feeling a little burdened here with it. Good morning, everyone. There's lots going on in September, and I wanted to get you excited about the potential of coming to Camp Crossroads. It is a really expensive thing to do to go to Muskoka these days. There's a hotel up there called Red Leaves, which is I like their cafe. I could never afford to go there because it's $900 for their lowest end room. And that Muskoka is getting priced out, but you get to come with us to Camp Crossroads, food in, for $85. Shameless plug. Join us in Muskoka for that week. It'll be a very low pressure, fun time. There'll be worship, there'll be time around the Word of God, and you'll have lots of time just to wander around in nature and relax. Camp Crossroads. Something else that's going on all week, and one of you young people, after church, come on down, because this is up for grabs. So, yeah, one of you two, if you want that. I'm going to bring that in. I'll tell you why in a moment. But I just love the contribution of Terry Fox and all that he means to this country, and particularly to me, who had a bout with cancer. And Terry spells out to me sacrifice, humility, and excellence and courage in one person. And there's a lot about Jesus in the life of Terry. We're going to talk about that today. Go ahead, Barry.
It's a Gray Dodge Journey out in the back parking lot that's calling for its own.
Gray Dodge Journey, and the alarm's on?
Yeah. It just turned off.
Thank you. We're just going to take a second to see a little bit of Terry Fox's life that you might not know about. Everybody knows who the Toronto Raptors are. Early in the Toronto Raptors career and team, there was a coach, and his story becoming the friend of Terry Fox is beautiful, and I thought I'd let you hear it today.
Are in the midst of one of their worst seasons in franchise history. The losses keep piling up, and so does the frustration for head coach Jay Triano. But he remains resilient, something Triano learned all about from a friend over 30 years ago. As a freshman at Simon University, he crossed paths with a Canadian icon, and the friendship they shared continues to influence him to this day. James Cebulski has that story.
I remember going out to the university for the first time. I went a week early. I remember being a little bit homesick and going into the coach's office. And sure enough, there's a guy sitting there. He had his leg amputated at that time. And there was so much for me going in to complain about being homesick. I quickly bit my tongue and sat there. And he ended up leaving the office, and I said to the coach, who was that? It turned out to be Terry Fox.
And with that one encounter, the course of Jay Triano's life was changed. A 19-year-old Terry Fox, just a few months removed from amputation, was slated to be the varsity basketball team's trainer for the upcoming season.
To see him on a continual basis and taping ankles and stuff, you get to know him a little bit better. He would tell us, he says, I have this dream and I'm going to run across Canada. And we all kind of just looked at him like, okay, that's your dream, that's cool. And never thinking that anything like that would ever happen.
But it wasn't long before Triano realized he had underestimated his newfound friend.
And I remember taking the bus up Burnaby Mountain and going up the hill. And here I am motivated because it's 8 o'clock in the morning and I'm going to go up and get shots up. And at the same time as I go by in the bus, I look out the window and here's my friend wheeling his wheelchair up the mountain. I remember getting up to the gym and shooting, and then all of a sudden here he would come wheeling in to the gymnasium, wanting to get some shots up, completely soaked, and I was just like, wow, this is crazy. And then I'd go down to the weight room, and then he'd be down there lifting weights. And all of a sudden, this dream that was way out there and that nobody believed in, and to hear him and see him and know how inspired he was, you just knew, okay, this thing is actually going to happen. Terry's actually going to do this.
I had a dream that came into my head, and I didn't take it serious at the time because I didn't even know if I'd ever walk again, but I dreamt one day I would try and run across Canada.
When the Marathon of Hope reached Toronto on July 11th, 1980, Terry was met by crowds in the tens of thousands.
I've never been treated like this before.
And the very next day, the run took a little-known detour.
The day after, he came to Niagara Falls, my hometown. We're standing right here on these steps, and I remember the casual talk about his run, and I remember him talking over and over about the prosthetic leg and the grinding and the chafing that was going on there and how painful that was. But he was just bound and determined that he was never going to stop the run. And my old coach, Dan Swerson, swears that, you know, the reason he came here is because this is where I was from.
It was the only reason why Terry went to Niagara Falls was to see Jay. He told me that. It's not in any book. It's not anywhere to be seen, but that's why he went.
By the time Terry and Jay saw each other again, the Marathon of Hope had been cut short.
No, I've got cancer in my lungs. And we got to go home and try and do some more treatment. All I can say is that if there's any way I can get out there again and finish it, I will.
But Terry's health continued to deteriorate. Then came June 28, 1981.
I was in bed, and the phone rang, and it was a radio station from Vancouver who had called and asked me for my comment about Terry because he had passed away. And I declined to comment at the time because that was the first that I had heard about it, and I was just obviously very sad and really had nothing to say.
Since Terry's passing back in 1981, Triano has been instrumental in helping keep the spirit and message of Terry Fox alive. He has been both a spokesperson and a participant in the annual Terry Fox Run. And back in 2001, right here on Burnaby Mountain at Simon Fraser University, Triano was the MC for the unveiling of this statue in Terry's honor.
Just remember the goosebumps and then seeing the monument and the memories of him and his run and his parents being there. You know what, it was emotional, but it was an incredible honor.
Now, more than 30 years after they first met, Terry is still a prominent figure in Jay's life, especially this season as the young Raptors continue to fight through some difficult growing pains.
He's relevant because of the values that he taught me. Find the positive any time that things aren't going the way that you want them to go, and don't stop working. Don't stop fighting. It's helped me through not just this season, but it's helped me through everything in my life.
I'm not happy about not making it to Vancouver right now because I know I did the very best I can.
If you had a chance to speak to Terry one more time, what would you say?
I'd probably say, look what you did. I mean, because you think about how far we've come. The amount of money to raise research, people are going through a lot less pain.
If Terry was still around, he'd be so proud of the fact that Jay was able to do what he has been able to do. Jay was a person he looked up to, and Jay was Terry's hero.
Jay was Terry's hero. What do you think when you hear that?
How do you accept something like that from a guy who did what he did? I mean, it's I remember after he had cancer, and he stopped his run, he came back to watch a game up at SFU, and he asked me for my autograph, and I was just like, are you kidding me? I mean, you're one of Canada's greatest heroes of all time, and you want my autograph?
I'm just one member of the Marathon of Hope. I'm no different from anybody else. I'm no better, I'm no lower, I'm equal with all of you.
And I think we're all inspired by different things in our lives, and I think that sometimes it's a movie, sometimes it's a book you read, but to be inspired by a guy who you see work every day and to know him as a friend, I just feel fortunate that, you know, it didn't happen in a book or a movie. It happened with somebody that I actually knew.
Thanks, Kathy, Alicia, for making that happen. It's so beautiful to be inspired by people who just have courage, and the representation of a single person who has a dream and wants to make a difference and has the humility and the self-sacrifice just to do what they did. It's wonderful. And my wife isn't here today, but she remembers being in a little country town called Hagersville, and her mom woke the girls up and said, "Get out here. Terry Fox is running by." And as a little girl, my wife saw him. And one of the stories that you won't hear, because he was such a sacrificial guy, he didn't have any money around Christmas, the year he had finished his run. He had ran 5,000 kilometers, 3,000 miles across Canada, and he wanted to buy his mother a Christmas present, and he didn't have any money. And I think he borrowed from a friend or found some change, and he bought a pink waste paper basket, something you'd get at the dollar store today, and gave it to his mom for Christmas. And she has a beautiful picture of that waste paper basket framed in her house, because it just represents so much more. One life, sacrificial, humble, and excellent. And I love getting inspired by people. And today I wanted to do some, what I call September clean out. I'm normally at school at this time and doing the Terry Fox run and bringing kids to camps. And now we're here. And I call it the race to Christmas, because normally when I get into this part of September, it's let's get to Thanksgiving, let's get through Halloween so I can start the Christmas music, and let's get to Christmas. And it's always, it seems September, October, and November are this means to the end game, which is Christmas, and I'm exhausted and sick and usually angry by the end of it all. And I'm trying to slow down. I'm trying to realize that we can just put so much into our planning and not take the time just to say, how did Jesus walk through his life sacrificially and simply? And I wanted to talk about simplicity today. Pure and simple, the choice to rejoice. This is the day, the day the Lord has made. And for you data people and scientists, how many seconds are there in a day? Do we know? I was looking it up, and we've got 57 plus thousand seconds in a day, 960 minutes. If you are getting 8 hours of sleep in a 24-hour period, and then you're left over with 16 hours, that was the 960 minutes and the 57,000. That's how long you're awake in a 16-hour period. The 24-hour period has 1,440 minutes and 86,000 seconds, if you like to be precise. And I've got my fact checkers here, which is good to have. I'll hear about it if I'm off. The point is, we all have the exact same amount of time, and it's amazing how we all use it just a little bit differently. This is the day that the Lord has made. Moses cried out to God and said, teach us to number our days, to number them correctly, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. We are human beings not human doings. And it's interesting how busy we can get. You want to throw that little shot of Terry up for me, Kathy? Thanks. You can just leave that up for a little bit. Hope is a quiet thing. It's about believing in a dream, no matter how long and how hard the road may be. Hope is a young man running across Canada to find a cure for a disease that caused so much hurting. It's the echo of his footsteps pounding on a lonely stretch of highway just before dawn. Hope is the story of Terry Fox. Terry would wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, have some food, and start to run. And he'd run about 15, a marathon is 26 miles, 42 kilometers. He'd run about 15 miles in the morning when he was fresh, have a nap, eat, and then run again in the afternoon. He'd put a little bag on the side of the road, and his life became incredibly simple. Eat, run, ask people to contribute. And it narrowed everything down. He lived in a Winnebago, I guess they call it, or a camper van as they went across Canada. And his life just became incredibly simple. But the beautiful thing is, after he finished, over the course of time, his first goal was $1 for every Canadian. He raised $24 million that first year. And to date, $850 million. Teach us to number our days aright. $850 million, one person, no money, just courage and discipline to get up and to do simple things. Amazing story. And if I was to ask you, when people say, how are you doing? And you can try it, I'll promise you, you'll get the same answer every time. Hey, how you doing? Same thing. Oh, I'm just so busy. When I got married, my wife said, you have to stop planning so much. I would book every weekend in September, and we would just be ridiculously busy. And then I thought, you know, we really have to unbusy our lives, but it does start at home. And I walked around my house yesterday, because I'm preaching to me today. This is a sermon for me, so don't get antsy. I'm not talking about you, but you can join me in my sermon. It might help. I walked into the basement and I said, do I need everything down here? And then I went to the kitchen. Do I need every cup, every piece of cutlery, every, we call it in Ukrainian, chacha, in Polish, chach. If you got all these little things hanging around, do we need all those? I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. This is where it gets painful. Come on out to my garage. How's the garage? The garages and the collectibles. Do you need all that? Do you need it all? Our lives are cluttered with stuff. And it's important to take time to go, you know what? I'm going to deal with this stuff. Super convicting words from Jesus. Don't lay up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy, thieves break in and steal. Lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven where moth doesn't come in and destroy, thieves don't break in and steal. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I look at my closet, you guys. Do I need that many pair of pants? Do I need that many t-shirts? This is like, you know, a small little token, but I do want somebody to take these t-shirts home. I got more. but it's incredible when we look at the things that we're storing and keeping. And then I look at a guy like Terry Fox. One pair of shorts, couple t-shirts, burnt out a couple pairs of shoes. Simple. Humble. Courageous. $850 million later, everybody knows his name. How's the kitchen? How's the closet? How's the garage? Can we do with a little bit of clutter? That's too convicting, so we'll move on. Therefore, I tell you, Jesus says, don't be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than clothing? You have little faith. Don't be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious about anything. Paul says, by prayer and petition. If you're a worrier, make sure that worry is always channeled into praying. My mom worried about me every day of her life, but she also talked to God for hours about it. You would worry about me too if I lived with you. You'd worry about you killing me, but anyways, it's beautiful. Don't be anxious, Jesus says, about anything. What you wear, what you shall eat, what you drink. He says, your Heavenly Father knows exactly what you need. Your Heavenly Father knows exactly. He says, you seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. Seek His kingdom, His righteousness. Kingdom is where God reigns. It's not a castle. When we hear the kingdom of God, we think of a fortified city. It's where He rules. It's where He reigns. It's He gets to make the decisions on the next pair of pants, the next shirt, the next chotch, the next thing you and I buy. I'm wrestling right now with a sweater my wife told me not to buy because it was expensive, and I want it. Do I need another sweater? No, no. But the gut says, you know, or another pair of shoes. Good Lord, you should see my shoe collection. Simplicity in the stuff. Can we throw up our old-fashioned guy? I'm going to show you another guy. His name is Blaise Pascal. Anybody heard of Blaise Pascal? Ha, Eli. Eli Hare, I love it. Blaise Pascal's really interesting. He's a polymorph. Everything he touched turned to gold. Oh, I guess you would know him, eh, Neil? Neil, good job on the bass today. You brought me right into that 70s world. And I'm like, I'm such a 70s guy. Love that bass line today. I'm sorry. I get in trouble for being ADD. I'll try not to be. Blaise Pascal. He's a polymorph. He's a scientist. You know you're cool when they name a unit after you. You scientists, you heard of the Pascal, the unit, the Pascal? What does it measure? Oh my. Wow. We got the intellect gallery over here. What kind of pressure? Well done to the missionary fam. Atmospheric pressure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you from the, what's that place called you're from, buddy? Ethnos. From the Ethnos team. Okay. He was not only a Christian philosopher, he created a little version of the computer to help his dad with accounting in the 1600s. He's really interesting. So he's dealing with theology. He's a writer. He wrote something called Pensées, which I'm going to quote from you. They're sayings. Pensées. Brilliant man dealing with theology and literature and science and math. In fact, there was a Swiss scientist who created a software and said, I'm going to name it Pascaline after him because he was actually inspirational in starting what we have today as a computer. And now we have an iPhone. Here's a guy who could do everything, could think everything, and literally change the world. But he said something that was very helpful to me, and I hope to you, about how you live. This is the day the Lord has made. 24-hour period. Epoch, back in the day, has different meanings in the Bible. A day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years is like a day. I just want to talk about the 24-hour period that God has given you. Blaise Pascal says this about how we live our lives. We never keep to the present, living in the moment. We never keep to the present. We recall the past. We anticipate the future, as if we found it too slow in coming and we're trying to hurry it up, the race to Christmas. We recall the past as if to slow its too rapid flight. This is amazing. We are so unwise that we wander about in times that do not belong to us and blindly flee the only one that does. We wander around, past, future, in times that don't belong to us, and blindly rush through the only one that does. This is a point where people start looking at the watch. Okay, let's the roast, I got stuff to do today, Dan, and we rush away. I know what it's like to sit in church and want to get out of here. That's why I became a pastor, so I can gauge the meeting. Like, let's just get on with the rest of today. Man, I've lived in the past and the future a lot of my life. He goes on to say this. We dream of times that are not and blindly flee the only one that is. The fact is, the present usually hurts. We push it out of sight because it distresses us. And if we find it enjoyable, we're just so sad to see it slip away. We try and give it the support of the future and think we're going to arrange things that we have no control over. Let each of us examine our thoughts. If we're honest, we will find them totally concentrating on the past or the future. We almost never think of the present, and if we do, it's only to see what light it throws in the future. This guy can write, eh? The present is never our end. The past and the present only our means, and the future our end. Here's the punchline I'm getting to. Thus, focusing on the past and the future, we never actually live, but only hope to live. And since we're always planning on how to be happy, it's inevitable.